Everybody, this is Feluke.
And this is Selena.
And we love Married at First Sight.
Sure do. Woo!
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! So this week was season 11, episode 15. The couples have left the retreat. Amani and Woody want to party every day, and Henry and Christina are yawning and glad to be home. What were your overall thoughts about the episode, Selena?
I mean, I thought that this one was a little bit of a snooze fest. No new information came forth. It was nice once again to see everybody's friends and to hear their perspectives again, but it definitely felt like a filler episode, like maybe Lifetime had said to Married at First Sight, listen, you said 10 episodes, so you're giving us 10 fucking episodes. And this feels like one of those, like, okay, we'll put some content on there type of episodes. So, not great, but I mean, there's still a little bit to be said. Well, how did you feel about it?
I felt similarly. I was so uninterested in this episode. What else? You just said something that, yeah, basically they bring in friends when they just have already made their point. They've already shown the couples, and then they just want to rephrase what has already been said in a new environment with a new person. There's nothing that came of this episode. I didn't learn anything. I didn't feel any type of way. My favorite character in the episode was Thaddeus, though. Bennett's friend, who was like, well, you haven't met her yet because you're meeting her representative. Nothing is real. This is a sham. Your relationship is shambolic.
This man hated the entire Married at First Sight enterprise. I'm surprised he even came on the show at all as a friend. Like, the whole time he was just like, yeah, but I don't think he said anything positive about that entire relationship. Not, I like Amelia, nothing. He had nothing good to say. And Ben even said towards the end, okay, I get that you think it's a bad idea. If I was Ben, I don't think I would have asked Thaddeus to come on if he felt that strongly about it. Like, it was almost a vendetta against the entire experiment.
He had something to prove. He was coming in hot.
Yes, he had a manifesto, and this would never work. It's the honeymoon stage. It's just, like, my God, okay. So
meanwhile, the other friend was on the side like, what makes you feel each other deeply? What makes you want to say yes to her? Have you bared your souls to each other? I said, what kind of matchup is this?
Yeah, I mean, but then again, it's Bennett. So once again, you can't ask questions with Bennett. You just have to, move through it. You have to keep going.
Including why him and Amelia have matching watermelon pajama sets, or I guess day wear sets.
Loungewear. Nice.
Loungewear. I certainly couldn't be wearing all that watermelon. That would be racist. Okay, so let's go to the top of the episode. Amani and Woody are talking about shit. That's what I have in my notes. I can't remember why. Do you remember they were talking about? Oh, she was asking if anything would change Woody wanting to stay with her for the rest of their lives.
And I think Woody said something like, oh, if your shit stink or something like that. Something stupid like that.
Right, Imani said shit, and I love when they're repeatedly saying a cuss word, so they have to keep bleeping it. That was funny to me. They were talking about percentages throughout their relationship. If Imani was 30-70, or Woody was whatever, and 50-50, they were trying to talk math and statistics, but. Ultimately, they wanted to get closer to that 100.
Yes.
Amani said, that's deep. when what he said. He felt very strongly for her, which is how I would react to anything, nothing constructive, just that's deep. And then also I felt bad for them in that moment, because not only are we tired of them saying the same things over and over again and seeing them, I'm sure they're tired of this process too. I was seeing Imani and Woody come home from the retreat, drove themselves, been with these folks for days. And if I'm coming home, I just want to shower and lay in the bed for 2 days. But no, they have to be sitting on the couch talking about shit.
No, I mean, I definitely think that they, like, not that they've run their course, but I think that they are like, yeah, we're going to be together tomorrow. I think later on in the episode, Woody says something to the effect of, like, I couldn't see my life without you at this point, which is beautiful, but also I think a very realistic, like, interpretation. Like, they just click. They work. The D-Day feels almost anticlimactic for them, because it's just, yes, yes, the end. Like, it's just almost a foregone conclusion. Now, where it's a little bit less foregone, like, oh boy, is Miles and Karen. How did you feel about Karen's conversation with her friends?
Oh, you're skipping ahead.
Yeah, I want to get to the good stuff. Because Woody and Imani, Amelia and Bennett, it would have to take an act of God. And Amelia's trying her hardest to mess it up. Right. But she's going to be able to in time.
Points on decision day. And then what she was talking about, oh, well, I just wanted to see if I could do reality TV. This is just the girl. And last week you were upset about the man talking about a Pokemon card and how his whole world was not about you. And now you're saying, oh, this was just a fun experiment for me. Didn't love that. Then also, I'm sure this has been in other episodes, but I noticed, because there was nothing going on in the plot, Amelia wears this giraffe dinosaur onesie to bed. And then Bennett is across the way putting on his dress. Like, what? What are we watching?
They're just weird. How many ways can they say they're weird?
Like, good Lord. She's a onesie with hood, and the man is draping himself
in a salmon dressing gown.
No, it's not salmon. It's like it's almost like a limey mustard.
I thought it was a peachy color. Maybe my eyes are off.
Maybe my eyes are off. I wish my eyes were off them in their natural habitat sometimes.
I wish my eyes were off.
But yes, Karen and Miles, let's talk about their friend interactions, because Miles, I haven't seen Miles this animated in a while, until he's sitting with his friends, he's reenacting stuff. Karen was over here on the couch, and I mean, I was over here on the couch, and she sat next to the laundry before she wanted to sit next to me, and it's nice to see him have a good time, even if he's recounting not great things. Also, yeah. His friend was nice to look at, in my opinion. He was tall, nice curl pattern, well-mannered, brought food.
He was a cutie, for sure.
He was a cutie, and I appreciated his airtime. I don't know if he added anything to the equation, but I do think he gave enough concerned looks to where...
he didn't detract.
Yes. And yeah. He asked good questions of Miles, I think. Now, with Karen and her friends, first of all, I think Felicia has a crush on Miles. The way she's
I think so, about. Too. The way that she was... Is Felicia the one with the blonde hair or the one with the long, dark hair?
The one with the long hair.
I think so, too, because she keeps saying he's an excellent guy and they're just not meant to be.
Right. And Karen's not ready. He's not the type of guy for Karen.
I don't think that Karen can give him what he needs. And I'm like, Felicia, girl, we're on the same page. We are. Like, I don't think Karen can give Miles what he needs either. So, and maybe you can. Are you up for the challenge?
Honestly, she seemed willing to drop Karen for Miles.
She definitely was giving her the real, because, you know, I think that she was asking the pertinent questions. Are y'all like kissing? Are y'all like doing anything? Like, even when Karen was saying like I'm not the type of person to be like very affectionate, and it seems like Miles really wants that. It seems like Felicia very quickly honed in on the fact like, oh, that is going to be an issue forever. I think she even said something to the fact to the sense of like, oh, that's a reason people break up. Like, so I think that Felicia seems
Go ahead.
very plugged in to their issues.
Can you say that again?
I said, I think Felicia feels very plugged in to their issues.
For sure. She broke it down also in a way that I think made sense for Karen, potentially in a way she wasn't able to communicate. When instead of talking about feelings or physical intimacy, Felicia broke it down to personality type and behavior. She said, you like an alpha male. You just said you want somebody who's going to put you in your place. You want somebody who's going to, you know, when you make a fuss, instead of catering to your fuss, say, stop all that fuss. Whereas Miles is going to say, how can I be there for you? But I got frustrated with Karen even hearing her tell her friends about her relationship because she started by saying, well, he shows too much emotion. Then she said, well, he doesn't deal with stuff. He's not real. Girl, I know what you're saying, but that also is very confusing. You want him to deal with stuff, but he's not allowed to show emotion. So he's in a prison of what?
Karen's making.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that it was very telling when her friend said, like, oh, you want a guy that will put you in your place. But then I thought back to the time when Miles, got ran over the coals for scheduling sex. And I would consider that like him taking charge in the situation, which is something that Karen has cited that she wants like repeatedly. And how poorly that was received, I wonder to myself, like, Karen, I get that's what you say you want, but when someone actually like even moves close to that direction, you balk at the idea of it immediately. Like, you left the house for the night when he tried to assert his desire to have sex with you.
True. I still found that moment to be childish, though. I don't think that's alpha in the way that potentially I would need it or what Karen would need, because you putting, oh, have sex with my wife on the calendar is not BDE. It's not big dick energy to me. You, as an alpha male, would know that if you had the right moves, I would be yours. Seduce me, man. That's alpha male energy. You don't have to put it on the calendar and set the date and say, okay, at this moment, at 7:02 p.m., coitus will begin. By 7:08, she'll be revved up and I will enter into the. No, it doesn't need to be all that. And it takes a lot of the romance out of it. And because Miles has a desire to be right, he wants to do the right thing all the time. He wants to be the right man. He wants to be there, yada, yada, yada. He is not always present, I think, is what Karen is trying to say.
I mean, that does give me something to think about because I heard Karen speak a lot in this episode about him trying to be Prince Charming or him trying to be Mr. Perfect and how that was like throwing her off and, like she needs to deal in the real. And my first inclination was to think that, like, but Karen, at least from what we have seen of her on the TV show, she does not, it's not as though in difficult moments or difficult situations, she springs to life all of a sudden. Like she, the same way that she's distant in like joyful times, she's distant in difficult times. She has said as much during the pandemic, she's been difficult or distant, and it's been difficult for her to connect with him. So I just don't. I had a hard time with reconciling what she was saying, like, we're going to deal with some real stuff and I need to know that you're there with her actions, which is when they have had to deal with real stuff, and they have in this very short amount of time dealing with that massive pandemic. She is reticent. She fades into the background every time.
True. She has a whole lot to say about Miles, but she's not really given anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as though I get that she wants a leader, but she doesn't, she is not even. The thing that I'm thinking about is my therapist always asks me when I talk about things that I want in a man, are those characteristics that you have? Like, are if someone was looking for a woman and said the same things that you were saying, would they be able to find you? And I don't know. If Karen is talking about she wants this and she wants somebody who can be in the trenches with her, if you even if you found that, would you know you're not going to do well in the trenches? Like you don't, you fade too. You're not going to be able to be his equal or be by his side, whoever that alpha male is. It to me, it feels like she is wanting an alpha male, but she's not an alpha female, I guess I'm saying. She's not that type of partner. And maybe what Miles is noticing is like, I think if she changed her what she her expectations or changed what she thought that she was supposed to have, that she would find that she was much more compatible with what Miles is offering. I don't know.
You do know because you just broke it down.
I don't know because I don't know the intricacies of her personality. Like, I'm saying this as somebody who has watched 2 hours and 3 minutes of content, but I can't say I know Karen and I know for a fact that this is the case. I don't know.
True.
Yeah.
Eventually she throws down in the kitchen though, so I will, to my former statement, fact check, whatever. She is contributing apparently good food because Miles is happy
Yeah.
and is sharing that with his friends.
I
Although, what
mean,
else does he have to share?
not much. That's what I was going to say. Like, he was so excited about the cooking, but he didn't have anything super exciting to say about their interactions. Like, the way that he was talking, he could have been talking about a restaurant that he found. Yeah, like you aren't talking about someone that you're married to. Or I would hope that my husband had more nice things to say about me than I put love in the cooking.
He said our relationship may not have love, and it's crazy because the food.
Exactly. Like,
I mean, even the
why?
compliment was a dig. It's a damn.
Yes, Jesus.
God, he's eating this food like, well,
This
maybe
is all
I
I'm
commit
getting.
this.
Yes. So let me ask you this. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna ask you what you thought about Karen's friend with the blonde hair. I thought she was wonderful and contributed very little.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, she was just there. I thought, I'm
Bring
surprised
it
you know
the
me.
wine.
Huh?
I said she was just there drinking up the wine.
Yeah, I don't even, I feel like she hasn't even met Miles, but she said she liked him, so maybe she has. Like, I don't know, so.
Don't know. She may have been at the wedding, but literally her shining contribution was Karen opened up about how difficult it's been, and homegirl said, "That is a lot," and just drink her wine.
Oh God. No, she's no, when Felicia said to Karen, you need an alpha male, the blonde hair girl also, yeah, me too. We're not even talking about you, like at all. This isn't about you.
She was just over there cheesing on the couch. Took me out. Just happy to be there.
No, but I feel
Thing was
it
a
because
game to her.
I feel like I would be that girl too. I just yeah, deaf. Like that's it.
Oh, that's a good game. Out of all the friends, which friends are you? Which friend would you be?
I feel like I would definitely be a blonde haired girl. I would probably have a whole lot of Thaddeus energy in me. Like, I would, because I
Tater.
agree with Thaddeus. Like, this is ridiculous.
He was up in
The
arms like someone was
opportunity.
trying to force him to get married.
Exactly. The opportunity to get on TV and just rant and rave. I would love that. So.
Like literally your lower third, it says lifetime married at first sight. He's like, this is blasphemy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like,
I think, which character do I think I am? I don't think I'm Felicia because Felicia came with that energy, that I'm gonna take your murder energy. I think I would be, I think I would be the other of Bennett's friends, the one who was asking, have you bared your souls to each other? Which isn't it bore? Is it bore?
I don't know.
Asking like super deep questions because you're taking it very seriously and but also maybe not. I don't know. Those are the type of questions I like to ask. You know who I wouldn't be? Amelia's friends, who I didn't even know were with her when they started that segment. They were both on the couch in the background while she was doing a tarot card reading and then came out of the wings as if they were truly extras. I said, Lord, do they speak?
They did. They said something like, I really like Bennett. And then it was over. Like that, I feel like that sums up the episode. Like, I
Any
don't think
word.
anybody, yeah, I don't think anybody except for like Henry's friend said anything bad about the other partner. So it was just like
Oh, but you know who else was great as a friend? What's that horrible man's name? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call him horrible.
Brett's
But
friend.
his friend was like, he was trying to convince his friend that it just fell apart and it is what it is. Life happens. The friend was in the confessional, like, I'm sure he messed this up.
Yeah.
He's got tendencies of being unable to see other people's needs and emotions and let people down. I said, woof, give him a spin-off. I'm ready.
The friend was literally talking to Brett and was like, "Do you feel like you learned anything?" And Brett was like, "Yeah." And the friend was like, "About what?" Brett said, "TV production." I said, "Brett, get out." Like, the friend was literally like, I just hope that he like learned how to consider others and be empathetic. And I was like, that really just sums it up, man. Like, you know your friend so well, and you know that he's just like this awful person. I don't, why are y'all friends again? Like, I don't get it. Do you owe him money? What's going on?
Exactly. Now, what did you think of Olivia this episode? I know you've been liking her look so far. Would you give her another 10 out of 10, 5 stars? And what did you think of her friend?
I think that she didn't kill it as much as she has in the past episodes, but she did look nice. Like, you know, she was definitely trying. I feel the energy still. I thought that I really didn't appreciate the fact that she was on some, like, oh, if he came back, I would be, you know, ready to ask some questions. I'd be willing, like, you know, to hear him out and to hear what he has to say about my questions. I would hope after the nightmare that Brett has like put her through during a pandemic that there is nothing that he could say to explain taking all of the food out of the damn house during a pandemic and a food shortage like across the United States of America. There's nothing that anyone could say to make that make sense to me. And I wish that she had been more like vehement in that because Brett, I'm certain when she watches this and she sees how flip Brett is about the whole relationship, it will boil her blood all over again. And the fact that she was willing to even hear him out, I don't think that she'll appreciate it now that she has seen this. How do you feel about it?
Well, I had seen an episode of the after show that they do. I forget what it's called, but Olivia and Imani were on it, and it was several weeks ago before all this leaving the house and taking all the season and you not using with you. They had asked, I believe, Imani a question about Olivia and Brett's relationship, and Imani could not even finish her response because of how much she disliked Brett. And Olivia tried to jump in, but was unable to really articulate anything about their relationship without it invoking some spoiler of how she felt about him. So I knew they weren't going to last because of the interaction that I saw on the after show. They couldn't even keep it together for a question. Mm-hmm. You know, and if that was your husband, you're not about to sit next to somebody and let them, you know, stumble over the words. Right. And you would be able to say things, but well, in that moment, he was having a rough time and we'll see what happens, you know, if it was going smoothly. I also, let me stop. On the other hand, always the hero of the story, Woody, I appreciate that his friend that he spoke to was his grandmother.
Yeah.
How freaking adorable. And then the grandmother drinking her little red juice with her straw was really pleased with his growth, with his joy, with his maturity, gave him sound advice. I really like that. I like seeing an intergenerational friendship. What I don't like to see are them plaits again on his hair. Good Lord. I struggle still, but he's such a good man. Actually, Woody's grandmother reminds me a lot of Amani.
Is that so? How?
The way they go back and forth, and also how self-assured his grandmother is when she says stuff. Now look, like she says things very definitively. I can't remember what she said about his grandfather or someone, like something about love, that it's hard work or whatever. Mm. And she kind of said it in a way that made me tilt my head to the side and go, that kind of reminds me of Amani.
I mean, that would be really beautiful because we know Woody lived with his grandmother right before this whole thing happened. He is very close to her. And so, I mean, honestly, if he saw some glimpse of his grandmother and Amani, and that's what made him fall in love, that's, like, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Although, I was noticing in this episode that they weren't wearing masks, and I noticed it more when Woody was with his grandmother. And seeing as we, in the future, are still wearing masks, I'm wondering how y'all are inside of restaurants and your apartment meeting with your loved ones to discuss your TV marriage without masks.
At restaurants, they say you have to put like a mask on to walk to the table. But once you're seated at the table, you don't have to keep wearing a mask, which is silly, but the case. So maybe since they were sitting down, they had taken their mask off. And then some restaurants require you to put your mask on when the waiter comes, but some restaurants don't.
Yeah, usually the waiter is wearing a mask, like Christina and Henry, who we'll get to shortly. But I did want to note one thing about the I did want to note one additional thing about the conversation between Woody and his grandmother. I loved that Woody said, you know, I didn't even miss being single. When you have a good one, what is out there that you are missing?
Exactly. I love to hear a man fulfilled. Like he said, I don't need nothing else. I'm not searching for anything else. All of my needs are met.
Right. He said, spending all this money on each one just to realize they're not the one. I said, okay, calm down. Don't ruin it for the rest of us.
Cut it.
Got the cameras, dead ass.
Let's stop talking.
You know who they should have cut the cameras on? Freaking Christina. I'm so confused by her in this episode. I can't tell if she's really trying hard to tell a story that is not there or is hoping that the producers are going to edit it in her favor. But all of this delusion about, I see hope in our relationship. The way he does this is really comforting. Girl, he is sleeping in a different room.
He hates you. And the thing that really gets on my nerves is Christina. And once again, who is this old ass man? Is this her father? Or who is this man? Who is this old man? But anyway.
She wanted to be her friend.
I don't get that, but we'll move on from that.
Yeah.
What really bothered me about her whole moment with her that man is I don't know who he is.
That's what we, that man.
Yeah, that man that she was talking to was that she had the nerve to try to say Henry was being mean to her or nasty to her, when in actuality Christina has been the main source of the nastiness in their home. Henry, against all odds, and honestly, this episode, it began to make me wonder a little bit, has been trying to be chivalrous or fair or classy towards Christina when he should just leave. And so I wanted to ask you, how did you feel about the revelation Henry made where he said that Christina was holding this gay accusation over his head, and that's the reason that he was staying? What did you read on that? Because that gave me weird vibes.
I didn't understand that because, one, y'all are clearly not working through it, so I don't want to hear any more about it. Number two, she also is not showing you the evidence that you wanted to see. So to me, I'm over it. If I'm Henry, I'm over it. What's the point of looking at it? What's the point of investigating it? To me, it doesn't exist. What is it Monique says? Say their names or keep it on the playground. That's the energy I have for Christina from Henry.
Yeah, and it just was so weird to me because the way that he was talking, he was saying if he were to say something bad about Christina or to speak negatively about Christina, she would hold it over his head. But I'm thinking to myself, but if you're not gay, as you say you are, then that doesn't matter. Like, your friends know that you're not gay, you yourself know that you only deal with women, like, what? And Christina has not been able, as Felipe said, to produce any evidence of this. It's not like she has some picture of you in a compromising position. Like, what are you talking about holding it over my head? You want to go around and tell people that you think I'm gay? You think that your ex-husband is gay? Go off, sis. Like, go do your thing. I am going to go home. That's it. Like, you can talk to that old man until you're blue in the face about how I'm gay. Like, come on. So yeah. I wonder to myself, like, what is actually holding Henry to this whole situation?
Right. I'm not sure, but if you notice, he's the only one still talking about it. Since before they left for the couples retreat, Christina has not mentioned
it again. Yeah. No. Well, not on camera.
Not on camera, not that they've included. She's not running to go tell her friends about it. And she, her, that man, excuse me, about it. seems to be keeping it to herself. I don't know if that's to keep her composure or because she knows she's in the wrong and hopes that they just don't include it in the final packaging. But it seems like Henry is the only person keeping this alive.
I don't know. It's just their whole dynamic is so strange to me. And obviously it's toxic. Obviously it's unhealthy. I just really want for Henry, or even Henry's friend at this point, that woman that Henry's friend that is always there, to Henry leave. Like, I appreciated that his friend said in the moment, like, I think that Christina lies. I don't think this marriage is a good fit. But I would hope that my friends would have a more active position, like, then I don't think this is a good fit. I would hope that my friends would advise me to leave or make an exit or begin to talk about exiting. Like, let this be action oriented, because it is not a good situation, and we should not be in it any longer than we absolutely have to be.
True. But then it also confused me when they were, and I understand they're being cordial, but when they went to dinner together and Henry started complimenting Christina, and then Christina started crying because Henry said 3 nice things to her, that whole thing is confused. What are you all getting at? What are you getting at? I understand you're both attempting to be polite, but to see Henry just try and be nice to her and to say very, to me, run-of-the-mill things to her, and then Christina to, in her confessionals, talk about, I think there's a chance. I think it's growing. There's something there. Girl,
where? We're down last episode, and he has called you a liar to your face. Like, come on. Come on. There's nothing.
It's a dead horse. He's on a twin bed in the guest room.
It is a dead horse.
No, ma'am. Well, obviously, Imani and Woody had a better time at dinner, always them, but they got into a quick little cute little squabble over eating off of each other's plates, and I wanted to know, Selena, if we went to dinner, could I eat off your plate?
Yeah, I mean, you could take several bites, but you could have a taste. I always like to offer up a taste to the table, just so, you know, if you ever come to this restaurant again and you want to try my dish, you can, but I would not feel good about you, oh, let me have another taste, or like another sixth taste, like, because at this point, okay, let me get another dish so I can enjoy it fully. But yeah, a little forkful is fine for me. What about you?
I don't mind it. I actually find it quite flattering when someone wants to eat off my plate. It means I ordered well. Don't get crazy, because I will put a fork in your hand. But I don't mind it. I find it's intimate to eat off of each other's plates. I think it's intimate when, you know, ooh, taste my drink. It tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to do that with everybody because backwash, and especially with this COVID, no ma'am.
Yeah.
But to eat off each other's plate we know what's in each other's mouths. We've been there. We've explored it. We know it back and forth. You want the map? You want map quest of the mouth? So it to me is a public display of affection.
I agree. I think that it's fine. I think that everything in moderation, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a little piece, sure, definitely.
I also like to share the dessert. We both don't need to get a dessert every single time, but let's get one dessert and we split it.
I'm a dessert girl, so like,
conflicted by my statement.
If you are sitting there eating, like if we get like an apple crumble or something with vanilla ice cream and you're sitting there like going in on that crumble, you know, and I date men exclusively, you know, men always eat so quickly and eat in big bites. I like to...
Am I a man then? Because I do that too.
I like to savor my food. And so if I am, you know, caught in savoring a bite and then I realize that half of the dish is gone, that is upsetting to me. Like, so you, in that moment that I was trying to enjoy myself and luxuriate in this dessert, you've gobbled down the whole thing. So I got that one spoonful. Nice. So no, I like, especially about desserts, we need to get our own. So you could eat it as fast as you want to eat it. And I'm not going to say a word to you, but I want to have, like, I want a full portion of dessert.
Duly noted.
Exactly. Yeah,
okay, I'm gonna ask one more question about this. It's unrelated. I've had this debate with people many times. When you go to a restaurant in the setting, we'll say you go with a significant other, are you okay if they order the same thing as you, or would you prefer they order something different?
I mean, there are some restaurants where, like, maybe we picked the wrong restaurant, and so there's only one dish that really sounds appetizing. So if we both get it, it's like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. We both have taste. If you know, if there's like a lot of options, I would not necessarily be like, don't get what I'm getting. But like, if I say, oh, I'm gonna get the crab cakes, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna get the crab cakes too, then I am quickly panning the menu for something else, just because like we said, I'm fine with eating off of my man's plate. So if we're, I don't want to both get the crab cakes, so then what's the point of eating off of your plate? So let me go find something else. Maybe I'll get the fish so that we can try a, you know, a wider cross section of what the restaurant has to offer.
Right. Oh, I thought you were going to say something like, have you no original thoughts? Have you ever met those people who, or I think there was somebody who called into the reader, maybe I was listening to an advice column where someone literally went on a rant about their friend. Every time we go to a restaurant, she orders what I order. She's obsessed with me.
Whoa. No.
That is the other level of extreme. I personally agree with you, but I would probably express it more strongly than you would. What is the point of us getting the same thing? I want to eat more food. I can't eat more food if you have crab cake, I have crab cake. What are we, two crabs just sitting around? What? Yeah. No. You need to get the curry goat. I'll get the oxtail. And then I'll taste some of yours, you taste some of mine.
Yeah.
And once I've tasted yours, I'll know that I made the right choice in ordering what I ordered.
Exactly. No, I feel very strongly that, like, if we happen to get the same thing, that means that there is nothing else that I could find on the menu that I would even consider getting other than that dish. Right. So if that happens, you got me, and we're having the same thing, and we're just gonna have a whole lot of that shit. But that's very rare. So I just feel like if even if I ask him first what he wants and he says something that I had been looking at, I'm cool with moving on then. All right, so I'm cool with that.
No, I'll just be like, well, you need to pick something else. And this, of course, is exclusively at restaurants. I'm not talking about we go to Wendy's, you get nuggets, I get nuggets and fries. No, that's fine. Those are independent.
Nugget.
10 piece.
Nugs. Give me the nugs.
Why are you like this? But yes, if we're taking the time to get dressed up and go to a restaurant that has a lot to offer, we may not be able to come back here again. So I want to taste as much as possible in the most economically efficient way.
Agreed, wholeheartedly.
Other than that, you know, Amelia and Bennett were on the floor eating pizza. And now the couples are separating to spend a night alone.
Yeah, from what I understood, this all happened the day before decision day. Is that the case?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, well.
Then what was interesting to me was that Karen was leaving the apartment for the rest. Mostly the men left. But with Karen and Miles, Karen left. And Miles saying bye to her, it just was so uncomfortable. And it looks like he basically is Roger from Sister Sister. He looks like a little boy with an unreachable crutch, there for whatever he can get.
I don't think that it's going to last. I think we've said this quite a few times, but I can't imagine Miles agreeing to sign on to a lifetime with Karen, having never slept with her, never receiving the attention and affection I think that he feels he deserves at the very least. I don't see it, and I think she knows it, he knows it, the world knows it, and that's probably why it was so awkward, because it was just like a...
They're just waiting for it to be over.
Exactly. Can we be there already? Can we move past this, please? So,
aww.
Yeah, it's not great. Do you think, knowing everything that you know now, do you think that Karen and Miles have, like, a chance? Not necessarily being married, but do they have any dating possibilities? Or do you think Karen is completely off of him and Miles is completely off of her?
I think Karen is off of him. I think if Karen ran back through the door and gave him some booty, he would be on her again.
Ooh la la.
I think they're gonna say no on decision day. I think Christina is going to say yes for whatever reason. And Henry is going to say no. I think Olivia and Brett are going to say no. I think Amelia and Bennett are going to say yes. And I think Amani and Woody are going to say yes. These are my predictions.
Agreed. I think Amelia and Bennett are locked in. I think Amani and Woody are locked in. I think Karen and Miles are a no-go. I know Brett and Olivia are a no-go. And Henry and Christina, I think, are a no-go. I hope Henry gathers up the courage, the strength to release himself.
I think he's going to enjoy saying, no, I do not want to continue this marriage. He's going to have a fire exit interview. I look forward to it. Cool. And then the season's over. We're almost there. Good
Oh,
Lord. They made
yes.
it through this episode.
Yeah, this one was lengthy and pretty slow, so toughy. Quite a
Well, y'all know where you can find us. We made a Twitter account, so if you want to follow us at MAFS Mamas, that's at MAFS
S.
Mamas, and you can always follow me at Feluca Fiasco.
And me at Selena M. Ballin with a C, not an S.
All
It's
right, y'all. Well, we will see you later.
Ooh.
Bow, 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 bow.